Our text is from the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. We begin reading at the first verse. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." By the way, two verses later, this guy could see. Dear fellow redeemed, once I was pastor to a farmer by the name of Olin, and he was a procrastinator. For example, in Olin's living room, there was an air conditioner in a box. He never got around to putting it in the window. Olin often picked his corn crop in the springtime because he was distracted in the fall and he didn't get around to picking it. Olin sometimes let his hogs get so fat that they couldn't fit on the chute to go to market. He had good intentions, but he was just so easily distracted, apparently. What a blessing it is for us that Jesus Christ was not distracted from the work he came to do. In our text for today, we see his rock-solid resolution, his commitment to the work of the salvation of your soul. He met a man born blind, and he turned on the lights for that man to demonstrate that he had come to do what he refers to in the text as the works of God. That's healing the sick and helping the needy and feeding the hungry and restoring the lost. But above all, it's saving sinners. And Jesus says in the text, "I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work." You see, time was running out, and Jesus could see the cross looming before him, so he couldn't be distracted from his work. He had to finish what he was sent to do, and he did. He finished the work of saving your soul. Isn't that the most encouraging message that we can hear or tell? That all the sin of all the sinners in all the history of the world has been paid for in Christ at the cross near the garbage dump outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And that objective truth has a universal application. Jesus says in the text that he is the light of the world. That means everyone. How could Jesus have come to be the Savior of the whole world? Well, it began with a perfect life. Jesus lived a life that was absolutely without sin. It was entirely spotless, completely innocent and righteous. And he offered that perfect life as our representative to God the Father, and God accepted it as though we were the people who lived it. And so Paul says, through the obedience of that one man, Jesus, many are made righteous. That's us. And Jesus was punished in our place. God made him responsible for all sin. He made him accountable for all the ways that you and I have failed to be the people that God had in mind when he made this world. Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body at the tree. He means that Jesus was punished in our place. He was our substitute at the cross. And on the basis of what Christ has done for us there, God forgives all of our sins. All of his anger over sin was vented at Christ. There isn't any left for you and me. And on the first Easter morning when Jesus rose from the dead, God was making a public announcement to the whole world that it worked. That he was satisfied with what Christ had done, living and dying in our place. He was raised again, Paul says, for our justification. He was raised so that God could declare to us all that he had accepted what Christ did and that now our sins were forgiven. And we're headed for heaven when we die, because someday our own graves, just like Christ's, are going to crack open and we're going to come to life again. So really, what more could you ask of Jesus Christ than that? In Christ, God kept the promise he made in the Garden of Eden. In Christ, he finished the work of our redemption. And here's why that's so terribly important. It's been calculated that in the last century, despite two ravaging world wars, despite diseases that swept across the continents, despite countless madmen and all of the havoc that they have created, despite all of that, the world's population grew by 4.5 billion souls. And those are souls that are lost unless they hear that God loves them and they believe that Jesus Christ has atoned for their sins. You know, the rest of the world out there is really not too much different from you and me. Just like us, they were born lost in sin, destined for damnation because of their disobedience to God's law. But you and I have been driven to repentance by God's law, and we've been drawn to faith in Jesus Christ by the gospel. When the Bible tells us that we're justified through faith, it's telling us that for our salvation, God only asks us to believe his promises. His promises that he loves us with all his heart, that he forgives our sins for the sake of Christ, that he's with us every day of our lives, and that one day he'll take us to be with him forever in heaven. And the Holy Spirit has opened our sin-blinded eyes through the means of grace, through the word and sacrament, so that now, through faith, we see the light of Jesus Christ. And because the work of the church is not yet finished, nor is our role finished yet, we send out missionaries to tell that story, and we speak the good news ourselves when we have opportunities. And we do it now while it's day, before night comes, that night when no one can work. It was a winter night when I was called out to Olin's farm. And I found him out by the machine shed, dead. He was lying on his back in the snow, wearing his overalls, and in his hand there was a wrench. And I wondered to myself, Had Olin decided to go back to work on some project that he had abandoned long ago? Or had he been at work on some special task and then felt distracted he was going to go do something else? Either one would have been just like him. Well, it doesn't matter. Olin's unfinished work is not important. What a relief and what a blessing it is for us to know that Christ finished his work. That he finished the work of our salvation. And you and I are guaranteed that we're going to heaven when we die. And what a grand privilege it is for us as Christians to share that good news with others. Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. O Lord God Almighty, mercifully grant that we who know you by faith may with our whole heart believe in Jesus Christ, our only Savior, serve him, steadfastly confess and glorify him, making known his saving word among all nations, through the same, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.